In 1863, President Lincoln proclaimed a national day of Thanksgiving. I'll read just a portion of his proclamation. He said, "The year that is drawing toward its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come, others have been added, which are of so extraordinary a nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart, which is habitually insensible to the ever watchful providence of Almighty God. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens." And today, Thanksgiving is still a national holiday. However, for many, I'm afraid it has just become Turkey Day, a day to indulge ourselves and maybe, perhaps, a quick nod to God. In the first chapter of the epistle to the Romans, the Apostle Paul describes the fallen, unbelieving world. And he does so in very graphic terms, showing and discussing their depravity, their sinfulness, and he is going to go on in Romans and explain the gospel. And so he starts out with their depravity. And he lists a lot of their sins in chapter 1. And he lists things that we would expect to see: sexual immorality, homosexuality, murder, and so on. But surprisingly, right in there with the list of all of these, what we would say, terrible sins, is unthankfulness. Surprisingly, unthankfulness is a grievous sin against God. Christ himself linked unthankfulness right along with the generic evil. And the Apostle Paul, in one of his epistles where he discusses the last days, the end of times, and how the world will be filled with evil and wickedness and so on, he notes that they will be unthankful. God views ingratitude as wicked rebellion against him. We shouldn't be surprised that those who are of the world, of the seed of the serpent, are unthankful and do not have time to give God his due and his praise for his blessings. But we who are his children should not be ungrateful. We should have, as believers in Jesus Christ, who have experienced God's grace and God's mercies and God's faithfulness to us, we should be filled with thankfulness. Thankfulness should be natural for the children of God. It should just spring from our hearts that have been redeemed by his grace. Yet God has to remind us. And not only does he have to remind us to be grateful, he has to command us. He uses the imperative that we are to be thankful. As Paul commands believers in Colossians 3:15, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful." Webster says that thanksgiving is to give thanks. To thank is to express gratitude appreciation. It is a warm response of appreciation to kindness and to gifts and things that are done. The Greek word for thanksgiving, and often translated thanks, is Eucharist. So we're told that when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, that he took bread, and when he had given thanks, that word thanks is Eucharist. And so some even call the communion service Eucharist, a thanksgiving. Well, we know what it means to be thankful. We can define it as an expression of gratitude. We can teach our children to say, thank you. But we struggle with it ourselves. How often do we forget to be thankful? We fail to heed the admonition of the psalmist who wrote, forget not all his benefits. We read in Luke chapter 11, verse 17, beginning with verse 11, a rather interesting story of Jesus healing some lepers. Now it happened as Jesus went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off because they were unclean and couldn't come in contact with people, couldn't even go into the town. So they stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go, show yourself to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed, they were healed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face and at his feet, Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Were not there any found who returned to give God glory except this foreigner? How could these men, healed of such a deadly disease, be unthankful? What ingrates. And yet, how often are we the recipients of blessings and gifts and mercies from God and don't express thanks to Him for what He has done? We take God's gifts for granted, not acknowledging His mercies, sometimes even disdaining the gifts that He has given to us. And like the lepers, go on our way without thankfulness. The psalmist reminds us that it is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. By every good and moral and righteous standard, all people ought to be thankful to God as well as to others. But of all people, we as Christians ought to be thankful. We who have been forgiven so much and given so much in Christ Jesus should understand that it is indeed a good thing to give thanks to our God. Toward the close of his long and rather productive life, G.K. Chesterton, the English writer, he was asked what was the most important lesson that he had learned. And he replied, it was to take things with gratitude and not take them for granted. That is a surprising answer. But what good advice. Not only is thankfulness right and good, we are commanded to be thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. If you are not thankful, you are out of God's will. If you are not thankful, you are disobedient to God. It's an imperative. That is, it is a command to God's people that we be thankful in everything. We as Christians, forgiven sinners, unworthy children of God, are to be thankful. Yet more than being thankful, Paul says that we're to do so in all circumstances. We are to do it in everything. There's a rather interesting event in the life of Matthew Henry. Matthew Henry was a Bible scholar from another day. He was attacked, beaten up, and robbed. And he wrote in his diary about the attack. And this is what he wrote, among other things, but this is pertinent. And I quote, "Let me be thankful, first, because I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my purse, they did not take my life. Third, because although they took my all, it was not much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed." What an example of gratitude in all things. Now, I don't, he might have had to think about it a while before he wrote this down for us. But it is an example of how even there are things to be thankful for in all circumstances. In Ephesians 5:20, Paul says that we are to always give thanks to God the Father for everything. For everything. How can you give thanks like Matthew Henry for everything? The bad things, the what we would classify sometimes as evil things. We can do so because as the children of God, we understand that our God is sovereign. He is in absolute control of all things. There are no accidents. There are no mistakes. There are no failures on his part. If we really believe what the Bible says and teaches about God, about his power, about his wisdom, about his love for us as his children, his mercy to us, then with Matthew Henry, we will see God working in the worst of situations and be able, even in them, to give thanks to our God. We can also give thanks in all things because God works all things together for good. Ephesians 2:28 and 29. Romans 8:28 and 29. So whether we understand it, whether we can see it and work out everything in our perspective, it doesn't matter because we are confident that in whatever circumstances we find ourselves, in everything, God is sovereign. He is working all things together for good. And we are grateful as a result for what he is doing, even though we don't understand, perhaps, all of the details. The world does not have such hope. The world does not have such confidence. So they look to themselves and their own strength, and they measure all things by their own interests and their own well-being. And so they are not thankful. In fact, they're proud. When there's a blessing, why, they deserve it, or they earned it, or it's their right. And they have no gratitude toward God for his mercies. As we grow in grace, we should become progressively more thankful, As we understand God more, as we understand God's workings and purposes and the teachings of Scripture, as we grow in the knowledge of these things, we also ought to grow in thankfulness. We should be able to more naturally be thankful. As Paul writes to the believers in Colossae, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." And then he also says, "Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." As we grow in faith, we will abound in it with thanksgiving because we are so grateful for our loving God, who is omnipotent, working all things together for good. And we praise Him and thank Him for it. Psalmist says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His mercies endure forever." In Christ, we have so much to be thankful for. We have an abundance of physical blessings. That's a little bit of the emphasis on Thanksgiving Day as a people, upon the abundance of the harvest and the abundance of God's gifts and grace to us, how good He is. And we are thankful for the jobs that we have and the warm homes that we have and the good food that we enjoy, the clean water that we have that many in the world do not have. We also are thankful for spiritual blessings. I trust that you're thankful for Bethel, a church that is warm and loving, that clings firmly to the teachings of Scripture, to sound doctrine, and proclaims it without hesitation. I trust that you are thankful for Bethel's elders, Chris and Pat. We are fortunate to have such elders. Two men that love the Lord, love God's people, love you, and care for them, and have no sense of lording it over His church, who are faithful in encouraging and serving you, the church, and in serving me and helping me. I am grateful and thankful for something that so many of us maybe don't even give much of a second thought to: how much work and effort our elders do for the church. We have so much to be thankful for as God's people. And Thanksgiving is not the only time we are to be thankful, but it's a time to kind of remind us and to emphasize this. We need to be thankful all year round. But I do think it is good that as a nation we have an official day still when we are to give God thanks for His goodness. But even more than all of these, if you will, physical and the physical aspects of the spiritual, we have sins that are forgiven. We are sinners. And yet God in His grace has reached down, as we read earlier today, reached down into the pit and taken us out of the miry clay and set our feet upon the rock, Christ Jesus. If God did not do anything else for us, we should abound eternally in thanksgiving to Him for that wonderful salvation. Paul puts it that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And He has. and we should rejoice in it. How could we possibly be unthankful when God has done so much for us and at such a price? How could we be cold toward God if we have any inkling of an understanding of His grace in Christ Jesus for us and the wonderful salvation that we have? To understand God's grace is to rejoice in Him and to be filled with thanksgiving for His mercies to us, His people. Shall we pray?